I'm not sure how many of you know what this is, and if this doesn't help too much, then maybe this or this. Pieces of a car jack. You know, one of the things that my dad did really well was that he taught me about mechanics. And long before I ever sat down behind the wheel of a car, I already knew how to change a tire on a car. Most cars come with a tire, a spare tire, and a jack, and all those different things. I was thinking perhaps that it would be all cars. Did a little bit of research this week and found out that no, there's no law that a car has to come with a car jack. And in fact, as car manufacturers have been trying to increase fuel efficiency, one of the ways they've been trying to shave weight is by getting rid of the jack and the spare tire. And so like 30% of cars made this year no longer come with this equipment. It seems that Americans think that flat tires are no longer going to happen. And if they do, that somebody is only a cell phone call away to rescue them. And yet, bad things still happen, don't they? Tires go flat, people get sick, they lose their jobs. Bad things happen to good people. It's just a fact of life. On our gospel reading today, Jesus takes his disciples across the sea by boat. And as he's going, the disciples are surprised by this storm that comes up. And on the one hand, it's sort of understandable. I mean, they didn't have WeatherBug app on their phone to tell them what was coming up, right? And in the Sea of Galilee, storms sometimes would come up unexpectedly. If you've ever lived next to the mountains, the way that geography works is this. A storm will usually build up the west side of the mountain, and about midday or so, it crests over the mountain, and then it begins to form a storm and comes down the other side. It always picks one ravine or another to follow down the side of the mountain. And so on one day, the skies will be perfectly clear and just a faint cloud far off in the distance. And another day, the ravine will be picked so that it's coming straight down the mountain and dumps a gully washer on you. And so it's sort of, on the one hand, it's not surprising because it didn't always happen. And yet, on the other hand, they should expect this. The Sea of Galilee was known for these storms. Yes, it didn't happen every day, but it could happen quite frequently. And yet the storm comes, and these disciples are caught totally off guard. And they're taking the boat across, and Jesus is sleeping on the cushion in the stern, in the back of the boat. And they come back to Jesus, and they wake him up. Jesus, teacher, don't you care? There's almost this note of rebuke in their voice as they're calling out to Jesus. And so Jesus wakes up. And he rebukes the storm. The ESV translation is almost a little bit too mild. Instead of peace, be still, a lot of other translations rendered this as be silent, be muzzled. There's this aspect of Jesus wrestling with these powerful forces of nature and forcing them into submission. And Jesus speaks, and a great calm comes over the water. And then Jesus turns to his disciples. There's almost this note of exasperation in his voice as he speaks to them. Why are you so afraid? It's like, don't you get it? In the verses just prior to this, Jesus said he'd explained the secret of the kingdom to them. If you were here last week, we heard those parables Jesus was teaching about, the parable of the seed growing and the mustard seed, about how God's kingdom starts off small, and yet it's going to grow very large, how God is in control of his kingdom, and he's going to be in charge, he's going to protect, he's going to provide, how he's going to cause the growth in his kingdom. And Jesus said, have given you guys, you disciples, have given you the secret of the kingdom. Don't you get it? But they don't. You know, they've heard, they've understood the message, but they haven't internalized. It hasn't made that distance from head to heart. They're not living by those words that they've said, that they've heard. And so Jesus uses this storm to strengthen their faith. See, when the boat arrives on the other shore, what they're going to encounter when they get out of the boat is a man possessed by a demon. So Jesus spent time and he taught them and he instructed them. He knows they're going to face this man. And so he's using this journey across the Sea of Galilee, this storm that's happening in the boat, to cause them to be strengthened in their faith. Tougher times are coming. Storms of life are going to happen. And yet these disciples are called to trust Jesus and to follow Jesus in the midst of the storms of life. You know, those truths apply to us as well. Storms will come in life. Despite what the car manufacturers seem to think, flat tires are going to happen. We live in a broken world, and things just go wrong. Genesis 3, story of the fall into sin. Adam and Eve sin, and God, as part of the curse, says the ground is going to produce thorns and thistles. Bad things are going to happen. And yet sometimes those bad things are a direct consequence of our actions and our choice to step outside of God's plan. But a lot of times they're not, right? A lot of times those bad things are just due to the fact that this world has been knocked off kilter. Bad things happen. Storms come. And we need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared to hear the words of Jesus and trust him and follow him in the midst of good times and in bad times. You know, our prosperity has allowed us to kind of smooth over some of those rough edges. We get a flat tire, we think that phone call AAA is going to remove all of those problems. We pay for problems to go away so we don't have to face those rough times. We watch on social media all of the highlight reels of everything good that's happening in everybody else's life, and we expect that that's what it's going to be like for us. And then something hard comes, and we're thrown off course. Jesus, don't you care? We get angry at Jesus because we're not expecting the things that are going to come. And yet the consequences of the fall are still here, and bad things still happen. The storms of life are going to come. And then, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, there's another level here. I mean, sometimes we expect that because we're following Jesus, that suddenly all of these obstacles are going to be taken out of our path, and all these storms are going to be swept away, and life's going to be easy and smooth. And Jesus never says that, does he? In fact, he says the opposite. He says, the world is going to hate you because of me. He says, sometimes because you're a follower of Christ, life is actually going to be harder, not easier. The world is not going to pat you on the back for following Jesus. When following Jesus comes in conflict with something else the world says, your boss wants you to do something that you know is unethical, he's not going to pat you on the back if you stand up to him and say, no, I can't do that because I'm a follower of Jesus. He's not going to pat you on the back. There's a conflict between something you want to do at church and your coach wants you to be there for a practice or a game and you choose to come to church. The coach is not going to pat you on the back. If you stand up for somebody who is suffering and who's oppressed, you might become the source of their next attack. Sometimes storms come in life. The Bible never says that they won't or that we'll be protected from them because we're followers of Jesus. What it says is this. It says that Jesus is still with us. Jesus was with his disciples in the boat. He was in control. He knew what was going to happen. He was not afraid. He was not thrown off course. He had control over the wind and the waves. And as powerful as they were, calming those storms was as simple for him as speaking a few words. Peace. Be still. When they encountered the demon-possessed man on the other shore, again, Jesus was there. Jesus was in control and with a word cast that demon out and restored that man. Jesus was with them. And his promises to them and to you and me are still true. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. It's not easy going through those storms of life. They are difficult, they're painful. When a loved one gets sick or dies, when we lose a job, when we are being mocked, rejected for the sake of Christ, when we lose friends, those are difficult storms. I'm not trying to say they're not. But the promise of the Scriptures is that Jesus is with us in the midst of those storms. So the kids are going to hear in VBS, Jesus rescues us from all of those things. We can have peace and be calm in the midst of those storms because Jesus is with us. The Bible also says that Jesus calls us to follow him in the storms. I mean, it's easy to follow Jesus when life is good, right? When it's easy, it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. But when those storms come, when the troubles come, when the fear comes, when the rejection and the persecution comes, it's a little tougher to follow Jesus. And yet that call of Christ still comes out to us to follow him. That's where we get the chance to realize whether these things that we've heard about Jesus and we understand and know to be true up here have really been internalized and permeated down to our hearts. Storms come, and still Jesus says, come and follow me. When someone laughs at you and rejects you, Jesus says, come and follow me. When a boss or a coach or someone else doesn't like who you are or what you do because you are a follower of Jesus, still Jesus says, follow me. When friends are making fun of someone else and we stick up for that person and they make fun of us, still Jesus says, follow me. Follow me in the midst of the storms. You see, storms will come. That's a fact of life. But Jesus is still with us, and Jesus still calls us to follow him. So may Jesus continually strengthen you in your faith by the power of his Holy Spirit, so that you can follow him in good times and in bad. Amen. Please stand. In the name of the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.